Hello, everyone, and welcome to Midnight Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Latasha Molidor, and I will be sharing with you my personal ghost stories and stories I've heard from my family members, friends, and other sources. I hope you enjoy. Tonight on episode 23, I'll be telling you about a few haunted locations in Waxahachie, Texas. Recently, my husband sent me a text, and it said that his boss told him to tell me to look up a restaurant called Catfish Plantation. When I looked it up, I saw that it's permanently closed, so I thought, why would he send me this if the restaurant's not even open? Then I looked at the description, and it said that it was a haunted restaurant in Waxahachie. While looking up this restaurant, I noticed a couple of other popular haunted places there. Rogers Hotel and Burleson House. Stick around. Waxahachie, Texas, also named the Gingerbread City because of its gingerbread-style homes, is 35 miles south of Dallas. It is possible that the name comes from a Native American language that means either cow or buffalo, and is the namesake of the former U.S. naval ship Waxahachie. The town was founded in August of 1850 on land that was donated by Emory W. Rogers, an early settler that migrated from Lawrence County, Alabama in 1839. Waxahachie was incorporated in April of 1871, and in 1875, investors were granted the right to operate a trail line from Waxahachie Tap Railroad to Garrett, Texas. This increased the population of Waxahachie. Trinity University was founded in 1869 and was located in this town from 1902 to 1942. Now the main administrative and classroom building is the Farmer and Administration Building of Southwestern Assembly of God University, located in San Antonio, Texas. Catfish Plantation. Established in 1895, the Victorian-style house was built in the shape of a gingerbread house by a farmer named Anderson. Up to 1970, it was used as a private residence, then later becoming a doctor's office and many unsuccessful restaurants. Bought by Tom and Melissa Baker in 1984, Catfish Plantation was one of the most popular restaurants in Waxahachie. It is said to be haunted by former slaves. However, the Bakers had no idea it was haunted. There are three dining rooms, which include wood-burning fireplaces in each, and all decorated with antiques. The restaurant specialized in catfish, Cajun, and down-home cooking. Three ghosts said to haunt the place are Will, a quiet ghost who was a farmer that lived in the house during the Depression years, Carolyn, a woman who lived here with her family from 1953 to 1970 until she died at the age of 80, unaware that she has passed away, and Elizabeth Anderson, the 20-year-old daughter of Farmer Anderson, who was strangled to death on her wedding day by an ex-girlfriend of the groom or her own ex-boyfriend. That part isn't clear. The Bakers have invited many psychics into the restaurant. Now, with Will, people have pulled up to the restaurant and seen a man in overalls standing on the porch, and when they walk up to the restaurant, he vanishes. He is reported to like to hang out on the porch and does cause some cold spots around the restaurant. Mrs. Baker had her own experiences. She was the only one with a key at the time, so she would open and close the restaurant. One morning when she walked in, she smelled and saw a fresh pot of coffee brewing in the kitchen, but no one was there. A few weeks later, she arrived to some of the kitchen equipment being moved into the middle of the kitchen floor, with dishes stacked neatly inside of it. Staff started to report food and dishes being tossed around the kitchen as well. They say it's because Carolyn isn't a fan of all these people being in her home, and she smashes wine glasses because she does not approve of alcohol. Again, she does not know she is dead. As for Elizabeth, she was first seen during a séance at the restaurant, knocking on walls, rattling dishes, doors flying open and candle flames flickering. Then the image of a woman dressed in a wedding gown was seen. When she's present, people can smell roses, feel cold spots, and see her sitting at a table or standing in the bay window of the restaurant. One night when Mrs. Baker was closing up and doing paperwork, she felt a cold touch on her hand. She thought maybe it was Elizabeth. A family sitting at the bay window had a baby with them. They mentioned to the waitress the baby's name was Alicia. In the mist on the bay window was the baby's name written on it, but no one was seen doing it. And this last encounter is really creepy. Just know when you visit haunted places, sometimes spirits are known to attach themselves to people or follow them. One customer was awakened in the middle of the night by a young woman dressed in an old-fashioned wedding gown from the waist up, standing near her bed with a gift and whispered to her, "Here you are." That would scare me. Besides the delicious-looking menu, too bad this place is no longer open. Not sure of the reason. But that hasn't stopped people from doing their own paranormal investigations. Burleson House was built in 1915 and was the home of T.W. Burleson and Sons Pure Honey family-owned business. The company was established by Thomas William Burleson in 1907. This two-story home is 3,000 square feet with almost an acre of land. It is a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house with a fireplace, kitchen and formal dining room, living area, and a sunroom. The home also has a guest house behind the property, and what used to be the bee room where they stored honey. Angel and Kimberly Quintero moved into the home in October 2011 and took ownership in January 2014. They had no idea until after they moved in that the house was haunted by many souls of the past. An old woman, a teenage boy, and a little girl are the most common known ghosts that haunt the Burleson house. Some people have seen a man standing at the stairs smoking a cigar and a woman who seems to be in distress roaming around the property who can be heard wailing at times, and she may even give premonitions to other people that are in the home. Doors slam on their own. People can hear footsteps and disembodied voices in the house. And the old woman can be seen sitting in the swing. The owners have smelled cigars and can feel cold spots around the home and can hear whispering when no one else is in the house. There are times when they feel someone is watching them. They hear cabinets opening and closing on their own, knocking on windows. The dogs will howl whenever they encounter the supernatural presence around the property. There was unexplained flickering lights, and the dogs would be let off their leash when neither of the owners released them. And because of the paranormal presence, the dogs would even fight at times. The couple knows they are not the only ones living in this house. Rogers Hotel is apparently an office building now. People in the building have heard footsteps, voices, and can see apparitions inside. A maintenance worker was there during a renovation and saw a man in period clothing asking him to follow him to the pool area, and then he disappeared. Other people have heard rattling of door handles, the elevator taking people to the basement even though they pressed the button for a different floor, and have seen orbs. And again, really common with paranormal investigators, they experience their equipment batteries dying and fully charged cameras dying while they're investigating. It is said that a man hung himself in the elevator shaft, and also a little girl may have drowned in the pool. Could they be the ghosts that haunt the Rogers Hotel? Are you a fan of true crime? If so, come and join me as I discuss true crime cases involving murder and survivor stories. I'm Latasha, the host of In the Eyes of True Crime, and on this podcast, I want to share some of my favorite cases that I have found interesting over the years. If there are any cases you want to hear, just send them my way. Let's talk about it. Since this episode is about haunted restaurants and hotels, it made me think of what people experienced at the haunted restaurants and hotels in episode 8, Exploring Haunted Austin. Here are some clips from that episode of the Driscoll Hotel, the Tavern, and the Clay Pit. arrived at the Driscoll Hotel, which is a very fancy hotel. It was built in 1886, and it has a restaurant inside called 1886 Cafe and Bakery. And here's the background story. In 1887, there was a function at the Driscoll for the legislative session. The senator's daughter went to play with her ball on the staircase, and it's believed that she fell down the stairs and broke her neck, and she died trying to catch her ball. She's called Samantha, and when people see her, she's holding flowers. And if kids are playing with her, they tell their parents that they're playing with Samantha. And then in the 1980s, there was a young woman who went to the Driscoll after her fiance called off their wedding. She spent a large amount of money shopping, and she went back to her hotel room where she committed suicide. She was found by the housekeeper, and people have seen a young woman or apparition carrying shopping bags in the halls, but then she'll go into a room that's vacant. Guests and staff, they have all seen apparitions. They smell scents, like it'll smell like cigars. And the tour guide told us that on restroom breaks, the tour guides and guests would sometimes hear other voices and noises in the restrooms, but no one else would be in there with them. I had actually been to the Driscoll once before. I don't think I knew it was haunted back then. It was years ago. I was interviewing and auditioning for a pastry chef position. It ended up not being the right job for me, not the type of kitchen I wanted to work in, but I never have been there any other time. I just remember how beautiful this place was when I got there, but had I known it was haunted, I might not have even applied to work there. Our next stop was the Tavern. It's known as Austin's most haunted bar. The Tavern is a sports bar that was established in 1916. It started out as a grocery store and then turned into a bar and brothel as of 1933. So a little background story about this place. Their resident ghost, Emily, who lived there in the past, apparently still roams the upstairs section of the bar. On the wall in a shadow box, they have a pair of little girl's shoes, which are believed to be Emily's, and they were found in the crawl space that's up, I guess, in the attic or like the third floor during a renovation, and that's where she used to always hide. We were able to go upstairs to the employee section where the manager does paperwork and other duties. Staff have seen shadows, and they feel like they're being tapped or pinched. Apparently, she likes to play pranks on people. Sometimes people feel like they're being watched, and when they visit this bar, they can hear footsteps when no one's around. The crawl space is really creepy. It's really dark in there, and I've actually seen pictures of the crawl space with an apparition in it and some strange, creepy shadow above the crawl space, and that seems to be what a lot of the staff members had been seeing there. And there are a lot of TVs in this bar. I can't remember exactly how many. I want to say about 40. And there are times when these TVs have turned on and off by themselves. Our last stop of the night was the Clay Pit. We were given gift certificates for a free meal each, and we've actually eaten there before, and they have really good Indian food. I'm pretty sure I had no idea it was haunted the first time we went there. We went inside, and the restaurant was pretty packed, but we were able to tour the restaurant in areas that customers aren't allowed to go. Then we were taken upstairs to the ballroom where they hold parties, wedding receptions, and other events. There were some rooms that were pitch black with open doors, so it gave off a really scary vibe. It was just like the storage closets where they would keep extra chairs and stuff. Even walking around in those rooms once the lights were on just felt so creepy. The bar had these antique mirrors above it, and I remember I kept looking up there hoping I wouldn't see anything in the reflection. We grabbed some chairs, and our tour guide began to tell us about the history of this restaurant. The ballroom is called the Bombay Room. A family lived on this floor, and five of the children died of illnesses. The last one to pass away was a little boy who roams the clay pit. He died on the second floor, where this ballroom is. Staff have felt like they were being watched when closing up for the night. People have felt like he was trying to hold their hands. Staff have had dishes being knocked over and broken. in the kitchen or even in the bar, they'll stack some cups up and then they'll just fall off the countertops. They have heard loud partying coming from this room, but then when they go to check it out, the noises stop and there's nobody in there. They can feel small hands on them or see someone peeking around a corner. I don't know if I can handle that while I'm working. Just think if you're shutting down for the night and then you just see somebody peeking around the corner, but it's none of your coworkers, that would freak me out. There was also a murder in the basement, and it was the Scarlet Lady. She was a prostitute who was strangled to death. The basement is also the break room. Huge nope for me. Staff can feel her breathing on them or whispering to them when they are on break. So funny, because when my husband told me about the catfish plantation, it made me hungry, like, ooh, is he taking me to Waxahachie to try a new restaurant? But then I noticed it was because it's haunted, and he and his boss knew it would pique my interest, which it did immediately. I wasn't aware that there were other popular haunted places in this town, and I've never heard of the catfish plantation, but I'm pretty sure I've driven through this town many times going on vacation. Now I know which places to make a pit stop at next time I travel. Thanks for joining me for tonight's episode, and thank you for listening. That's it for this episode of Midnight Ghost Stories. If you have a story to share, please send an email to midnightghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. It will be read on the show, or send in a voice recording to be played on an episode. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook at Midnight Ghost Stories and Instagram at Midnight Ghost Stories Podcast, and subscribe and download to make sure you don't miss any episodes. Tune in next time for another episode of True Creepy Ghost Stories.